Excuse me, this is the operator. This call is being recorded and you may begin.
Right. Hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome to the GNSO Council's wrap-up meeting. And as usual, we don't have a set agenda for this meeting. The idea is to have an open conversation and talk about the issues that we've identified as coming out of the Singapore meeting week and any other topics that councillors want to address, or anyone in the room, obviously. Just to start us off, can I bring to your attention the document I've just sent to the council list, which is a document that I prepared with Jeff's help to identify the main action items that have come out of this week. There are several of them. Action items from the board resolution on new GTLDs, action items from our own council meeting yesterday, and I've also taken some less formal action items out of the interaction we had with the CCNSO during the week, on Monday, where if you recall, we discussed a number of possible joint efforts and areas where we could, both SOs could help each other and work together. So if you can, have a look at the document. I'm sorry I couldn't send it any earlier, but it's been a busy week. And with that, let me open it up straight away to any discussion that anyone wants to start. Wolf.
Thank you, Stefan. I had just a quick look to the document you've sent out. You are going to prepare to present tomorrow. There's one point I would like to talk about, the GNSO improvements. So you just highlight these 3 points, and at the end you say, okay, the procedures are more or less complete. So you remember we had a discussion about the iteration process of the reviewing process, and for me that is not really fixed. So if I'm not wrong, there's something in the bylaw saying that there shall be a review process every 3 years, or that period kind of thing, and it may be also in the head of the board. And we were talking about, okay, different views about that. Sometimes it was said, okay, there may be a new review not before the other one has been finished. I wonder whether this shouldn't be highlighted here in your presentation as well, towards the board, well, to make the board looking at this, so that we have an idea what is it really about. So I think we should know in the future really what we have to expect with regards to this iteration process. Thanks.
Very good point. Perhaps not include it in the slides, but if I can remember and if my brain cells have kicked in, perhaps just mention it during the presentation tomorrow. How does that sound? I mean, the question you're asking, Wolf, is are we supposed to start a review once again now that we, you know, we've come to the end of the cycle, but we haven't really come to the end of the previous review yet?
The problem is the bylaws that say that a revision cycle should commence in 3 years.
Rob, you're going to enlighten us on as to whether we're supposed to start a new revision process now. I actually thought it been pushed back to 5 years.
That's correct. It's 5 years. The Structural Improvements Committee is actually looking at when the next overall review cycle starts up again, because it's not just an issue of the GNSO review, it's the review of all ICANN structures. Back in Mexico City, the time frame went from 3 to 5 years, but even if you count 5 years from when the board approved the independent recommendations and the Board Governance Committee, you would very quickly see that it's July of 2013. There are going to be further discussions about what is the appropriate trigger and when those time frames occur. Some folks are advocating for a later in time period, but even if GNSO gets subject to something in 2013, it's not likely to be anywhere near as comprehensive as what you all just went through. It's likely to be a little bit more pro forma, but then again, you can't predict.
Just remind us when the previous recommendations were released.
The board approved most of the recommendations, you'll recall, in Paris in July of 2008. So 5 years would be July of 2013. Question there is, what does that mean, commence the next review? Is that hire the or identify the independent reviewer? Does that mean have them ready? These are all types of issues that the Structural Improvements Committee is going to be talking about in the months to come. So it might not hurt to engage them. I don't know whether they're going to be that focused for your report, you know, tomorrow. But, you know, having them engaged and having them be aware that you all are aware of those issues, I think would be useful.
Thanks. So I propose to just make a mention of that during the presentation tomorrow. I do agree with Wolf that it would be useful just to make sure that the board is aware that this is something that we're looking at and probably losing a little bit of sleep over. Christina.
My question doesn't relate to the board presentation itself, but more to GNSO improvement, so if you'd rather I ask it later, I'm happy to do that. It's actually a question for Rob, and that is that several constituency and stakeholder group requests relating to kind of website support and the like that were put in for budget consideration were denied on the grounds that they're included in the toolkit. So what's the ETA on the rollout of that?
You all recall part of our implementation report identified that there were a couple of outstanding issues in terms of being able to deliver the toolkit, and two of those areas were website support and organizational record keeping. All but two GNSO eligible entities submitted their checklist to us. We'd certainly like to hear from the IPC and the ISPs as to what toolkit items they would like to have. What we're planning is having a meeting with the IT team and representatives from each of the constituencies and stakeholder groups who have asked for the support, in an attempt to identify what the overall package will look like. What our IT team folks have told us is they can't produce one-off solutions. And so the discussion is to be, what is the model for web support? The term that our IT team is currently using is web presence. to look at it in a very comprehensive way. A number of the groups have already accepted the Confluence Wiki tool, and they're using that as a means to provide information and circulate it. The broader picture is, what does that whole web presence look like? Does it include a website? Is it sufficient for it to be a Confluence Wiki, which is tremendously more robust than the social text system was? So the bottom line would be, coming out of this meeting, if your individual communities can identify, you know, one or two people who would just sit in on some discussions about that, help us identify those. We had set aside, not approved probably till tomorrow, funds in the FY12 budget for that purpose. So that's probably what folks had communicated when they say, well, it's already there. It is there. It's just a matter of identifying precisely what that delivery will look like.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rob. Just looking around the room for Wolf.
A different point, if I may. Okay. This is in regards to the IRTP resolution and how we did it yesterday. So there was a follow-up on a chat between the councilors, so with regards to that process. And I personally and the ISPCP are not very well involved in this part of the project because it's an inter-register transfer problem. It may touch others as well, registrants and so. And as a councillor, I understand so that we had to talk about and had to move that forward. So I myself, I found a little bit not very comfortable in that process, because when I then saw this motion, which was a very, very large motion, you know, and detailed motion, I was also thinking for myself, what is my position, or how shall I deal with that? As a manager of the process, I can't deal with all these details, which are in such a motion in it. So I wonder whether this was the right way to be presented to the council, or whether we could find other ways in the future if such very detailed processes have to be set out for implementation. So it's just starting a discussion, so how we should deal with it, because I personally didn't feel comfortable, maybe others as well, so with that, and I just could prove that I don't have anything against this motion, but the way it was done seemed to me at the very end, because it started then to be amended and amended again, that there must have been some problems with that up until to the end. And I couldn't imagine what it is. Just, I would like to start this discussion, how we could deal with such motions in the future. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolf. I'm glad you brought that up. It's obviously the elephant in the room and something that we need to talk about. I've got Marika, Bill. Can I just say that, just for the benefit of you all, I had a chat with Mikey this morning, just on the discussions around this. Just to very quickly summarize, I think there's a feeling from the group and the volunteers that put in so much effort that the council in part dismissed the effort that they'd put in, which I don't think is true, and I portrayed to Mikey the fact that I don't think there was any intent from the council to do that, and that both groups were just trying to do their jobs and trying to work through the situation. But just to make you aware of the fact that I think this kind of situation and misunderstanding, shall we say, also highlights in my mind just the amount of stress that we've all been under for so long with the new GTLDs and other stuff that we've been having to cope with, and just coming to the end of this process, I think we're all just at sometimes at our wit's end. And when, you know, talking to Mikey this morning, it was clear that although there was misunderstandings, there was no ill feeling. So it's true that we did face a difficult situation, and let's talk about it. Marika, Christina, Tim.
Yeah, this is Marika, you know, specifically on the IRTP and maybe as well, I think, as a more general discussion, because, for example, the motion itself literally translated the recommendations of the working group into a motion. There was, you know, apart from putting in front, the council recommends. So, and I think those two recommendations that actually were deferred to a later date, they had been in the report from the initial report onwards. So we had numerous discussion at the council level, two public comment periods. So I think and I understand, I mean, the inter-registrar transfer policy is very specific to registrars. So I do understand that it's not an issue of general concern. But I think what we do see, not only in the IRTP working group, but also in other working groups, that not all constituencies and stakeholder groups are represented, you know, often for very good reasons. So my question would be, how can we make sure, because, you know, we give updates, we, you know, do workshops, how can we make sure that, you know, issues are raised with the working group at an earlier stage and not when the final report is done, so that we avoid indeed the situations where working groups feels that the council is changing their recommendation or disagreeing with them. Well, you know, in this case, it's just deferring a decision. But I do think it gave the impression on the discussions we're having on Sunday that suddenly people didn't like the recommendations, and I think people in the working group feel, well, why didn't you tell us before? Because these specific recommendations were already there from the initial report onwards. So is there a way that working groups or staff can communicate in a better way with, you know, maybe especially those groups that are not directly involved through, you know, stakeholder group or constituency representatives in certain efforts? Is there a way we can do that better to, you know, avoid those kind of impressions?
Christina.
Marika said most of what I was going to say. I just almost think that we need to come up with almost, I hate to use early warning system, but in my mind that's kind of what it is. And whether it's a kind of, you know, look, council needs to understand this working group is, you know, three meetings away from finishing its initial report, but attendance hasn't been great, or there's not wide representation, or, you know, they've taken a particular interpretation of a document that we understand your stakeholder group may understand differently or whatever. Because what I really don't want to have happen is, you know, I had two choices. I either did what I did or we sent it back to the working group. And I would really think that we would send something back to the working group as an option of last resort. And so in order to ensure that it really does remain the option of last resort, I think we need to have, you know, earlier, clearer communication. And frankly, you know, the WIPO folks hadn't really picked up on what, you know, for that specific issue. So, you know, could that have been avoided? Theoretically, possibly, but as a practical matter, no.
But how can we make it clear?
I'm just trying
to get clarification.
Let everybody talk. And I mean, I've got an extremely long list, so
I mean, she doesn't need to respond now, but just to clarify, need, because as I said, those recommendations were there in initial report, proposed final report. We presented on numerous occasions to the council and also workshops, put out notices and announcements highlighting the recommendations. So if people have ideas what more specifically needs to be done, I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah, you made that point. Tim.
What we need to do is perhaps to, I mean, we have this idea of the liaison, but we don't have really anything formal around what the liaison's responsibility is, except for, you know, if some issue gets raised by the working group that they want to get vetted at the council level or vice versa, that there's some, I don't know if it's a committee situation or whatever, but that there's some sort of assignment amongst, and maybe it is to the liaison, amongst the council, to monitor what's going on with the working groups. But I guess I thought of that before, but I thought of it more in light of making sure that as the working group gets going, that it has sufficient representation, that participation is ongoing, et cetera, so we don't get to the end and find out that a bunch of us have problems because
although they say there's consensus, only one stakeholder group actually participated in the PDP. So I can see it from that point of view. From the on the other side, when work starts getting the work product starts coming out of these working groups, again, maybe there's something we can look at, we can do there, but I think it's on all of us to spend time reviewing those for our stakeholder groups or whatever the stakeholder group arrangement is for monitoring those things and making sure that they're aware of what's coming out. I do think, though, that one of the problems at the council level is that we it seems to me that, and I'm not sure exactly how it started because it didn't seem like it was that way in the beginning when I first got on the council, but a final report gets posted and then right away we have a motion and we're talking about it at the very next council meeting. And sometimes, I mean, there's just a matter of you know, less than weeks, 8-10 days between when a report gets posted, the motion's there and the council's talking about it. I think at least in this case with transfers, the you know, a motion was posted without any thought that it was actually going to be, you know, any vote on that at that very next meeting. But perhaps what we need is a discussion first of the report, which is something we don't do. The report gets posted, we don't discuss it as a council, we just go straight to a motion, and that's where our discussion happens. Maybe we need to make a point of discussion of the report prior to having a motion placed on the table.
So you've tried to do that twice, Tim, haven't you, recently, with the both that one and the P. PEDNA. Maybe that's one thing that we can look at, is the way that you've been putting motions forward just for discussion at one meeting, and then we come to vote at the next meeting. Bill.
What we have here is a failure to communicate. And, you know, well, I want to talk two things. First, on this particular point, what Tim just said is very sensible to me in terms of having a prior discussion around reports, but more generally, I don't know if everybody has, if there's enough collective discussion and mind share about how the respective roles work in the new architecture. And so you can get expectations built up. You know, if there are people who believe that now with the council's newly articulated role, the work groups just kind of go off and do their thing and then we just, you know, rubber stamp, you know, to me, there has to be a two-stage process, and it has to be understood that it's a two-stage process. I will say this from the idiosyncratic or self-interested perspective of non-commercial stakeholder group. We don't have the capacity to cover all the working groups. We just don't have the people. We don't have the pro bono volunteers to be in all those groups. So at the end of the day, when they come out with outputs and it comes to the council level, that's the stage at which it's easier for our stakeholder group and its constituencies to begin to really hone in and sort of say, well, wait a minute, you know, are we okay with everything? And I think it has to be understood that if it's being defined in the minds of working group members as the council, as some sort of freestanding entities monkeying around post hoc with our stuff, that's, I think, the wrong perspective, because the council is the elected representatives of the stakeholder groups. So it's the stakeholder groups that are trying to get a second look at this thing make an assessment before we take action. So maybe there simply has to be a clearer mutual understanding of how the respective roles work, that maybe we have to be more self-conscious in the way we approach the outputs that come from working groups and talk about. Because I don't remember us ever having conversations like, well, should we be careful about this one or da 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 da. I mean, we just do it, you know. And maybe there has to be more earlier communication, early warning, et cetera, about where they are, et cetera, so that people who aren't participating are fully informed, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all. That's one point. The other point I wanted to make was on the general conduct of the council meetings. I've argued this before. I'll argue it again. I know I'll never win. I really wish we could somehow pace our workflow in such a way that when we come to public meetings of the council, we weren't doing sort of detailed reconstructions of long motions or a lot of process stuff. but we're rather focusing on some bigger ticket items that would be more likely to engage the community. Because I just, I've only been here for 2.5 years, but in the time that I've been around, it seems to me like the level of public participation in our council meetings is just going down. And when I talk to people, everybody's saying, oh, God, that was painful. You know, I mean, the way people talk about our open meetings is really not flattering. And I think that's a function of how we run them. We run them as like this is just a regular council meeting in the normal 3-week flow, and whatever is coming up at that time is what we're going to do, rather than sort of saying, can we structure the workflow in such a way as that when we come to that point, some things have already been resolved that are kind of more procedural or micro level, and we can do something a little bit more engaging. So I would like to keep that discussion open because I think it's important.
Thanks. I think our council meetings are painful for us now, getting painful for us as well. I won't name them, but I had 3 councillors come up to me at the start of the meeting yesterday and ask if we could not make it last till 6:30. So, you know, when you go into a meeting that has taken a lot of preparation work to do, and you have your own councillors saying that they can't face 4 hours of this discussion, and for good reason, to be honest, because towards the end I was ready to shoot myself. I agree. I'm just not sure. We've discussed this before, and I honestly, I don't know how to make it more interesting. I mean, we could rent naked dancers, you know, or something, but male and female, obviously. But I just don't know how it could be done. Can I just ask, Chuck, you an expert? Zahid has to go to, he has another engagement. Do you mind if he goes before you? Zahid.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Chuck. Thanks for that. First of all, I think Tim's comment was actually very good. I think it does help that does help us sort of get early warning in some ways to go back to our stakeholders' constituencies. But I think the issue that I wanted to raise was this is more structural. We have a system that's not working, in my mind at least. We're struggling because we don't have the manpower to man this wonderful idealistic system that has working groups, which is imposed upon us by the board. So, you know, the ideal system was there would be a working group, everything is seen by the constituency, by the time it comes to the council, we're all ready. Everybody knows what this is all about, everyone's aware because they had their representation within those working teams or working groups. So I think that I know this is not helpful, but it really raises an issue of structure. Does this structure work? Is it actually working for our constituency and stakeholder groups? And I think that's something that needs to be sort of placed when we think about it. And maybe when this comes up for discussion again about the GNSO structure, maybe this is something that can be addressed. Thank you. Thanks for the...
Thank you, Zahid. Chuck.
Thanks, Stefan. We actually have the GNSO, have a really good place to deal with the problem we're talking about right now because we're in the stages of reviewing the PDP recommendations. And I think that that's a really good place to deal with this issue of the final report, the motion, et cetera. One of the things some of you heard me comment on the PDP session on the weekend was that the way the document's worded right now, final reports have to be at least 8 days before a council meeting. What could any of us do in 8 days with a final report unless it's a one-pager? And even that would probably be a problem. So all I'm suggesting is I think we have a situation right now where as we work with the working team to finalize the PDP revisions, that this all can be done in there and probably with not a lot of work, but we can put in some steps there leading up to a council motion and a council vote that would make this all more realistic. I think we're always going to have a situation where there will be groups that just didn't find time to review, but you can only do so much. But I think that's a natural place to work on this problem, and I don't see it as a huge amount of time, and I know Jeff doesn't want to hear more work on the working team, but it's an ideal time. Second point is very minor, Stefan, and that is in the motions itself, we have historically, we have not all, we've used links and motions as well, just in that particular motion. All of that text in there now for that needs to be a part of the motion as far as the revised language could have been linked, and it would at least wouldn't have looked so intimidating. One last point is that with regard to consensus policy, especially, you know, we're all going to have to be diligent, because it's really important that if we're going to improve consensus policy that is impacting contracted parties, that we've done our due diligence. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chuck. I have Alan next.
Thank you. Some of you may remember that in the report that came out a while ago on, I think it was on communications and something related to that, the ALAC suggested that to engage the community, it may require one-on-one personalized outreach and not just sending things to email lists. But that doesn't help if people don't respond. You know, at that point, they no longer have deniability that they didn't know about it, but that still doesn't really change the response. And I found it interesting or disquieting, I'm not sure which, that in the discussion on UDRP, one of the issues raised was the working group model may not be sufficient to address such a complex subject. And to be candid, I'm not sure the working group model is able to discuss almost any of our subjects because of the problems in participation and getting people to focus on the issues early on. So I know we're stuck with it right now. We don't have anything else. But we really have to start looking at it as how do we make working groups work, because I don't believe they are right now, and it's a significant problem. And the last very quick comment, and I speak from personal scars this week, when working groups formulate recommendations, they should formulate them using words, recognizing they're going to have to be put into a motion. And I know Pedner particularly had at least one recommendation, says the working group recommends. And that implicitly means we have to reword it when the council recommends it. And just little thought at that time may save us some problems and agony later on.
Thanks, Alan. Avery.
Thank you. yeah, a couple recommendations. Would you like to say something?
Hello.
Thank you. First of all, I think there was a lot in what Tim said in terms of the job of the liaison, and the liaison making sure that the council's constantly aware of what's going on in the working group, the fact that there's not proper representation in the working group, the fact that issues are being discussed without everyone being there. And basically, I think you have a place on most of your agendas where on most of the working groups, the liaison or the chair, if it happens to be, you know, the same as the liaison, is basically asked by the council to report on it. So I think that part of making working groups work is having that liaison role be a seriously taken job, not just sort of somebody that's standing by there in case something goes wrong, but really making sure that the working group is getting what it needs, and sometimes that means that various constituencies aren't going. In terms of the meetings, and this goes partly to the subjects, in either the good old days or the bad old days before the council had to start spending a lot of its time talking about reorganization, there actually used to be substantive reports of ongoing report, not only done in the smaller meetings held on the weekends, but on issues that more community input was needed on, and such. Those discussions were actually held, you know, in the Wednesday meeting, and there was discussion. So having a couple substantive topics actually discussed. And it's not that the council is now a legislative body bringing in legislation about the substance, but rather it's just making sure that the discussion of all the substance has gone before the whole community so that in those meetings people actually get something that they can talk about, that they can actually think about. So on a lot of these working groups where perhaps there isn't sufficient participation and they're really substantive issues, that long before a final report, they actually come to the council and in the council meeting actually give some substantive time to it. I think, I believe that working groups can work. I think we've seen various times when they have been working. I think it's way too early to give up on them, and I really do believe that that liaison role is critical to making them work.
Thank you, Avery. So I have Jeff, Mary, Marika, Margie, Wendy, John, Christina, and I'll put myself in the queue, and Adrian, anyone else? Bill, Jonathan. This is good. Jeff.
Well, that's actually part of the problem is we spend a lot of time on the process and we never get to the substance. So we're going to spend this whole wrap-up session talking about the problems, but we have a whole bunch of substantive issues we need to actually decide on what to do to go forward. But I want to address, you know, this kind of notion of, you know, the motion only gets there and we have such a short time. Most of the reports that have come to the council for a vote have not only had an initial report, but they have a proposed final report, and then the council actually puts that out for comment. And then, only then after the comments received and tweaks, small tweaks are made, that's when it comes up as a final report, and that's when it's voted. So shame on me for the my comment on the thick who is. I understand that. But I think this is not a structural issue. I don't believe that for a second. I believe this is our issue. I think this is our issue within our stakeholder groups and our constituencies. I know the registries, at least, we have a full-day meeting on constituency day, and we delve into these issues and these reports in a lot of detail. I've seen some other constituencies and stakeholder groups, and they spend a lot of time talking about things that may need to be talked about, but they're kind of pie-in-the-sky issues. You know, let's talk about AOC, let's talk about consumer trust, let's talk about, you know, lots of things, but they don't nail down as much as they used to in the past on the actual reports that go out for council. I don't know if that means that stakeholder groups need longer meetings or meetings on two separate days to actually talk about the stuff that's before the council. I don't know the answer to that. I don't believe it's a structural issue at all. I believe it's our issue. It's with our stakeholder groups and constituencies, and we need to find the time to talk about the substance. We need to show up at our meetings. I know that, you know, I'm afraid right now because I know that our PDP final report is going to come to the council, hopefully, knock on wood, you know, on the 21st of July. And I'm hoping not to see too many comments that we haven't seen before, that we haven't addressed, because that's been over 2 years' worth of work. Most of the stuff in that report is not new. And there's going to be, I don't know, 50-something recommendations, something like that, that come to the council. And, you know, another point is that we got criticized in the past for just saying we approve a report without looking at the recommendations, and nobody knew what that meant. So when we sent a report to the board, the question by the board was, well, does that mean that the council supports all the recommendations? So we kind of went to this process now of voting on all the recommendations, so we made it very clear to the board which of the recommendations we all supported that they needed to make a decision on. So I think maybe the pendulum has swung back all the way the other way to including every word of the recommendation in the resolution, but let's remember how we, you know, kind of how we got there in the first place. And then I'm trying to remember what my last point was. And
get to the substance, Jeff.
Get to the substance, right. That's it, I guess, for now.
Thanks, Jeff. Mary.
Following from Jeff's point, Jeff, I have no idea how every stakeholder group or constituency works. I know that in ours, in the NCSG, we do very regular policy calls, certainly before every council meeting, where one regular item on the agenda is discussing things before the council. I say that not just for informational purposes, but actually to kind of highlight a problem that, and in this respect, I disagree somewhat with your characterization, because the truth of the matter is that even with an initial report and public comments and summary and analysis of public comments and then a final report, I have to confess, and maybe it's just me, it's hard to remember what happened. So even if I read everything that we're doing, when it comes time to it, and certainly in our group, there's some folks who are interested in certain issues, and when they participate on the calls, it is the responsibility of counselors to follow up and follow through, and we kind of have to go back and study again just so we can give that update and then give a recommendation on how we think the position should be. And I just want to say it has to be done, but it's hard. And I think that even if we don't call it a structural problem, it is a problem. And if Chuck's and Tim's earlier suggestions are things that we want to follow to at least try to alleviate that problem, I think certainly for me, the discipline of having to prepare for a council discussion before the actual motion is formally proposed will force me to do my homework, and I'll at least try, and I'll at least try to bring that back to the group, probably better than I have before. So I'd like to suggest that we take up those suggestions and the suggestion of the liaison and see what happens. On a more general note, this picks up on Bill's point earlier, and I had a discussion with Chuck and others a couple of days ago. I hate to reopen issues, but what is the purpose of a open council meeting at an ICANN meeting? I know that sounds kind of weird, but I'm not asking it sort of rhetorically or joking. I understand the purpose is. Yeah, we do want to involve the community and get participation and be informative and have a two-way channel and allow for the face-to-face feedback. I fully support that. But if we want to take that seriously, then there's a couple of things I think we need to do. First, as between our weekend working sessions and the Wednesday meeting, that maybe we need to do a better job of telling people, like with what happened with IRTP, that stuff has been happening behind the scenes. We don't have to go through a blow-by-blow of how many edits were changed. But speaking beyond the Mikey issue, there might just be people sitting on is going, what the heck's going on? I popped in on Saturday and I don't really know what's going on. I think we do need to have something very specific that says this is continuing. And secondly, then going to the point of how we conduct the meetings, we might want to think about seriously running them as a different kind of meeting. And if particular motions or issues are not pressing, then those do not get discussed at a face-to-face meeting but be put off to the next call.
Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Following on from some of the earlier comments, I mean, Jock noted that now is the right time to come on the PDP working report, but I would have thought that the right time would have been the initial report and the proposed final report. And as Jeff said, you know, if we have to go back again, I'm sure we lose even more volunteers on that work team. And that's one where we actually went back several times to the council saying we don't have sufficient participation. We are with a small group of people. There are several stakeholder groups or constituencies that are absent. So, and that didn't result in any changes. Also to point out, I think working groups face the same problem with getting constituency and stakeholder group statements. That's one of the initial steps in any working group, and on many of the recent working groups, there are only constituencies or stakeholder groups that actually provided input. So I think for working groups, it's very hard to get a sense of, especially those that don't have representatives of a group, what certain stakeholder groups might care about or which issues they consider crucial or important. Building on the liaison idea, I would actually suggest to the different constituents and stakeholder groups, even if you don't have an interest in the issue, you might want to consider appointing, maybe you don't call it a liaison, but maybe you call it an observer, someone within your stakeholder group or constituency that just is on the mailing list. So indeed, if there is discussion on items which you might not have expected in the context of a certain initiative, there is someone that rings the bell and tells your constituency, hey, this group suddenly has started talking about this issue. Should we do something about it or do we want to talk about it? And coming to Jeff's points as well on substantive discussion here at ICANN at stakeholder group day or constituency day, policy staff is available. We went to the registrars to talk to them about what's up with, I think, UDRP, the IRTP, and post-expiration, to give them an insight on what's going on. I know, I think the registries appoint the people or that serve on the working groups to give those kind of updates. But we don't receive any requests from other groups. So I don't know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't discuss it, but I just want to know that we are available, and if there indeed is a need, or also outside of ICANN meetings, to have someone of us on the call to just give a quick update on where certain working group stands, which kind of recommendations they're considering. You know, we're more than happy to do that. Anything we can do to make sure that an issue or recommendation is socialized before the council has to decide on it, before preferably a final report is issued. I think we're there to assist in that process.
Margie.
I think a lot of people said what I was going to say. On the topic of, so I'll switch topics, a topic of making the council meeting more interesting in the open session, perhaps we do the open mic right away, because if you remember by when we did that yesterday, it was very late in the day. There were hardly anyone left in the room, and we basically got very little public, comment at all. So it's just a suggestion to maybe, start off with the discussion then.
That's very good, actually. Thanks for that. Wendy.
Just two quick points. One is on efficiency. Wouldn't it be great if we could deem things red when they were circulated among the list rather than have them read out again in the council meeting or read through in PowerPoint version?
Can I just address that? Is that something that we've heard, we've been back and forth on that topic? The reason we read out the motions and stuff is so that people that are listening in on the audio listening in after the meeting can actually get the text that's been talked about, if that's what you meant.
That isn't what I meant.
Okay,
I meant the,
sorry.
I meant the reports and the PowerPoints explaining the reports. We need higher level of abstraction. These are the three critical issues, rather than this is the 15 issues discussed. And we need to trust that council members can read the documents, and if we can't read all the documents, then we need some other way of doing our work. The other point on the calendaring of the various public comment periods, I wonder if there's a way we can work with staff to get a calendar, or maybe it exists and I don't know about it, a calendar of sort of prospective comment periods of various forms. I know there's the sort of ICANN issues out for public comment. Is there a place where we can it also include the sort of working groups seeking public comment, seeking constituency input, so that on our monthly constituency calls we can say these are the five issues that are out for comment. Let's make sure that we've put in comments on the ones that are important to us.
Thanks. Adrian wanted to come back to just on one point that you made, Wendy, or that I made, I don't know, but you had a specific comeback. I've got you in the queue for later, so if you just want to come back on that point and then...
While I'm at it, I'll just jump in on Wendy's. I think it'd be great to see a visual consolidated timeline of comment periods somewhere. Does that exist? Marika, I see you.
I think that's something that staff is working on as part of the AOC or the ATRT recommendations. And I don't remember the last if they were going to publish that sometime next month, the list of public comment periods coming up.
But by the by,
so that is in the work, but that covers all. But of course, sometimes it's hard to predict, timing. So it's, I think the issues, at least from what I've added to that, it's like, well, this comes at some point, but it does give an indication.
Sure.
So that should be coming.
I think
that
would be extremely helpful. Stefan, just with respect to your comment on the reading out of motions, I don't find that, where's that coming from, that someone going to be reviewing it later wants to have the motion there? Because I assume you mean by reviewing it later they're going to be on the interweb machine. And if they are, the motions are available on a aforementioned machine. So why would they need to have it orally if they could have it visually?
What's the interweb machine?
I'll draw you a picture later.
Okay. The idea is that if people are listening in, and it's for people listening into the MP3 later, but also which... In that case, they may have that the
ability to go online and read the motion at the same time, but also for people listening in live, don't forget that is now possible, has been possible for a year. I know that in that case it's extremely useful to have the context, because if we just say we're voting on motion one, go to the wiki and look at the motion, you're listening in, people...
That's great in principle. I'd like to challenge that, because I do not believe that that's a reasonable understanding. You know, we got there because of that, but is that still the way it is? If we stopped it tomorrow, would we get an influx of people that say this is absolutely inappropriate and I can't do it? And then if we did, then great, we could turn around and go back again. But from my point of view, you know, I'd like to see part of these open sessions, and the reason I wrote some of those thoughts up there were that the public meetings are also a little bit of a sales pitch, right, for what the council does and everything as well, and tries to get involvement and tries to get people going. The more boring we make it, the harder it's going to be for us to get any public participation. So the any way we can truncate some of that, some of the unnecessary, you know, non-vital wording or whatever phraseology might go on, then that'd be, you know, I think beneficial. And then we can, and I'll save my other spot in the line for talking about some other proactive ways we could use that time. But that's just the way my marketing brain works. So,
The point you make, just to address that, yesterday's meeting, I know I've said that already, but yesterday's meeting was very specific in terms of timeline. We were going into that meet. I mean, it was a long open council meeting. They are important, but we just had a meeting 2 weeks ago. It was a horrible timeline to work to. It was a hell of a job putting an agenda together for that meeting. And actually, that's one of the points that I wanted to make when I was when I had myself down in the queue, was that when the council leadership team puts out an agenda, please look at it and comment. We put it out to you so that you can come back. I mean, it's not only three people doing these things, or it shouldn't be. And sometimes I can tell you that we do feel slightly isolated working on the preparation for these meetings. It's a hell of a job. It's our job to do it. We're happy to do it. But at times, you know, yesterday's meeting was hell to put together as an agenda. And I actually went to Tim and asked him if he'd read the motions, and I'll be honest with you, I was hoping he'd say yes, because I needed some time filling, because that agenda was difficult to put together. We just had a meeting 2 weeks before. So we're trying to address some of these things. You've seen us try and address the prioritization issue, trying to present the issues that we're dealing with in a regular agenda item, I'm also trying to apply my other normal day job experience to this, and trying to highlight, for example, the stuff that we've done on the pending projects list, so that that's clear for people. But your help, all of you, to us in doing this is invaluable.
Okay, and can I just respond? I just wanted to... exactly what I was about to say. I absolutely want you to understand... He said he didn't like you and never did. He said we're not personally attacking you guys, and I just wanted to make sure that was absolutely not part of what I was saying here. I understand you worked your butt off to get the agenda together, and it's not necessarily about the agenda, although, you know, I'd certainly volunteer, Stefan, to work with you on, you know, jazzing up the public meeting, if that's, especially, you know, the next one's going to be my last. So maybe that can be my legacy. I'll put a bit of my Adrian, je ne sais pourquoi, I don't know what that means, but I will put that to it. So I'm happy to do that, mate, and work with you between now and then. You know, I've got some ideas about how we can visually portray some information, what we've been working on, what's coming up, and really try to, you know, promote the fact that the council is working, we could do with public participation and support, yada, yada, yada. So I'll shut up now, but thank you.
Thank you very much, Adrian. John, next.
Thank you. An unintended direct segue. I totally agree with Adrian's points on the need to redesign the meeting. And in fact, my point is that I'm neither a lawyer nor a technologist, which in some respects makes me an outlier on this council. But I do focus my work on communications and how to effectively advocate for ideas, issues, organizations, and I think perhaps I might be of some help in this regard. And so I will offer to work with the staff on the design of our meetings, not the substance of it, but the design of it. Right.
I mean, working with us, John. No.
What's that?
The staff have so much things to
well,
do already.
Whoever,
working with us.
Whoever is responsible
here.
For deciding yeah. that we should maintain the 1950s, you know, Moscow-type approach and pace. But as I look at it, we offer progress reports. We vote on actions that have reached, that are ripe, and then we seek public participation. And there are ways, I think, that we can design our meetings so as to increase the level of energy in all three, but particularly public participation. And so I would be willing to do that. From a substantive perspective, I realize that something can always be improved, but I don't want the perfect to be the enemy of the good. In terms of the working groups, the working group guidelines do offer a lot more control over some of these difficulties. I reviewed them again yesterday when Mikey came up. It's really kind of striking. The first time I met Mikey, I thought, how can a guy called Mikey have such an essential role in the organization? But he does. And I hope that he chooses not to leave. I mean, you know, really. But, you know, the working group guidelines provide significant responsibility and authority to the chair. The liaison is not mandatory. And in fact, if we made it mandatory, I think it would, I don't know that it would be any more effective. But there are aspects of the working group guidelines that perhaps we can accentuate. We don't have to create anything new. We just have to perhaps ask that they be followed more assiduously. But if you accept my invitation to participate in the design of the meetings, then cool.
Well, we welcome it. So I have Christina taken myself out. Adrian, I've taken you out of the queue unless you had some other points you wanted to make.
It's just, can I'm
no, 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 I'm not. Don't speak now. I'm just asking, do you want to stay in the queue?
Well, I won't have to if I can respond to John and then I'm out. So here it is. Ready? Why don't we just do a working group, right? And we'll, like an informal little thing, John and I'm happy, if you're happy to work with me, John, and Stefan, the three of us come together and there's anyone else that wants to join and take care of it. That's all. Is that enough?
Thanks.
You okay, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're
thanks.
Sure?
So Christina, Bill, Jonathan, Jeff, Zahid, Alan, anyone else that I missed? And Wolf. And then we'll try and cut the queue off there to try and talk about other stuff in the remaining 5 minutes. Christina.
Sure. First, I guess one of the things I'm struggling with this working group is we've really created kind of a very inherent but important tension, I think, because on the one hand, we're saying that anyone who wants to can participate, and they are not participating as a representative of their stakeholder group or constituency, and what they say is not the position of the stakeholder group and constituency. But on the other hand, we're really waiting until the end of the process where they've done all their work to say, okay, constituencies and stakeholder groups, now is a time for you to input. And I'll tell you that, you know, the IPC leadership is going to be taking a very long, hard look at how it deals with working groups because, you know, we were all totally blindsided by some of, not the recommendations, but some of the points of agreement within the working group. We then went back to some of the people who had identified themselves as IPC, one of which we'd never heard of, and said, did you guys really agree to this? And they were like, well, no. So, you know, I think we really are, you know, personally as a constituency, we're going to have to look at that. And I think we really need to get this problem right because what I don't want to have us do is end up in a situation where we're saying, okay, we can only do 6 working groups at a time, and only 2 of them can be consensus policy and 2 of them, and 4 of them can be implementation because that is so vulnerable to gaming. But I can see us heading in that direction unless we can kind of figure out how to end up in a situation that when we get the report and when we've considered it and discussed it, and I think Tim's idea is great, that we're in a position to actually say, okay, thumbs up, we're all good. 2 other things really quickly. I love the idea of the open mic first. for our public meetings, I think we need to stop trying to... We should never have something on the agenda because we're trying to fill the time. And personally, I would much rather that we start trying to aim for a shorter public meeting, because I am firmly of the view that once this whole new GTLD thing happens and you have new registry operators, this whole 10-day let's travel to somewhere that takes a day and a half to get to is going to end. And I think that having to be much more efficient, and the sooner we can start about it, I think the better off we're going to be. That's it.
Thanks, Bill.
It's going to end?
I just think maybe it'll be 4 days in a, you know, airline hub or somewhere like that.
Okay. I was just going to tell John that if, you know, you feel like, you know, you're an outlier, I think I must be off the charts. I mean, we have diversity here in terms of backgrounds. And that actually goes to part of the problem with how I view both the question of the relationship between the council and the working groups thread and the how we do the public meeting thread. But on the public, I want to start with the public meeting thing. Mary said, you know, what is the purpose? And I really, and again, I know I'm probably completely in a minority on this, but I'll say it anyway. I view the public meeting, well, what I would wish the public meeting was an opportunity to outreach to the community, to give them a 3 times a year update and kind of macro level assessment of what the council and the GNSO community have been doing. We tend to treat these meetings as just another meeting in the workflow, and we cover the same kinds of things that we do on teleconferences, and that's just not very scintillating to people. And it's not just a question of people get bored and walk away. We're missing a fundamental opportunity to engage people in the community and inform them about what we're doing. People who are not down deep in the trenches of GNSO work. And I think that's really problematic. I mean, I know particularly from, again, I can't help thinking of it through the lens of NC, but I mean, you know, there's just so much going on that people can't process. And I wish, for example, take a concrete example. Yesterday, we had lots of discussions referring to the Jazz, you know, but probably there are people who have not had time to actually track what's going on in the Jazz. I bet you a lot of our members don't really understand what the whole Jazz thing was about. I wish, instead of sort of simply referring to it, we had some, could have used the time to sort of say, this is fundamentally what this is about, and this is the key issues that the council has been struggling with in a kind of more coherent way. Mary said, can't we hold, maybe we could hold non-essential motions to the next meeting. I mean, I would think, why not? Why, you know, just because it's percolated to a certain point, do we have to necessarily use that session to pick up whatever the last bit, the last part of a train of things that's been going on for a while, rather than saying, let's repurpose this meeting as something of a kind of broader education of the community and an effort to try to promote engagement. So I would really like to revision, personally, the way that whole thing is done. And as far as the working group issue, again, I just think that while everybody feels that, you know, we went through this whole improvements process and we sorted this out and we've come to a new model, it just seems obvious to me that not everybody's completely on the same page as to their understanding of how that model works. And I know that from my standpoint, you know, it would certainly help if the council were to take up the reports, you know, more fully in advance, et cetera, et cetera. But there's more to it than that. I mean, Jeff said people just have to get engaged and work more. It's not going to, you know, for contracted parties, this is your business, okay? You can allocate the people or whatever, but we're never going to be in a position to do it the same way that you do it. We're just not. I think users are just not in that position. So we have to calibrate this flow and in a way that deals with that. And recognize that when it comes to the council, that's the time when the stakeholder group, the thing has surfaced, and they're now able to really focus on it and provide their input. And that the way that works is going to have to be understood better between the working groups and the council.
Thanks. I have Jonathan, Jeff Said, Alan Wolf. We have, I think, talked about this subject for a sufficient amount of time. Please make it very short, because there are some other subjects that some people want to talk about, and we've got 15 minutes.
Jonathan.
I'll try and be as brief and succinct as possible, Stefan. I personally could carry on a little longer, but I realize others may have scheduling issues. CWG is something I'd love to touch on before we close this meeting. I think that everything I hear about this public meeting seems to be driven towards making your task more thankful than thankless, Stefan, so hopefully it can get there. I raised it with one or more people last night. I mean, I think the purpose and style of this public meeting, I really like what I'm hearing. I almost think one could do a throw it out and start again. Say, what's the purpose, and work through it and set it up so I like what I'm hearing, the fact that there's a real willingness to try and do something. I personally experienced quite a lot of repetition over the last 4 or 5 days, something that I realize this is not a commercial environment. There are good reasons for doing some repetition, but nevertheless, by the time I've been through the weekend sessions, the stakeholder group sessions, and the public meeting session, I've seen the same topic discussed in more or less the same way 3 times. It indulges us in a way that we wouldn't in our own commercial organization. So we do have to try and fix that a little. I just on the whole issue in and around working groups, I heard a lot of effort put into trying to make sure that working group, the integrity of the working group recommendations were carried through to the council. So I think I just want to go on record as saying we tried to respect that I thought as a council. I thought we'd done a pretty good job of trying to do that. And I've heard very practical suggestions through this discussion from Tim on timing, I think from Avery on the liaison, which was backed up a little by Marika and developed, and from Wendy on a summary of critical points, which links into the whole style of the meeting. So thanks for giving me the chance to make some input in a short session.
Thanks, Jonathan. Zahid, Jeff has generously offered up his slot. So, Zahid, did you want to come back in? Yeah, and then Alan and Wolf.
After Chris disbands a little presentation on the farewell for Peter Dengue Thrush, I'm really concerned about what the Aussies are going to come up as jazzing it up in the ICANN meeting. But I'll be joining you in that, Adrian. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's a good idea having some sort of an idiot's guide to what we're actually doing in the public meeting. It would be a fantastic idea. It gives people who are there for the first time an idea of what do we mean by the IRTP. Each and every resolution that is being passed, what does it practically mean to a user or registrant? That may be very useful. So maybe it's an idea on Wednesday to actually have sort of a public show sort of event, and maybe do the work on Saturday and Sunday, and I think that's Alan. Alan made that point as well. But I also take the point that Stefan made, that a lot goes on during the reading of the resolutions. And I think we're all organizing ourselves. I know that I am, and many other people who are on the council do that as well. Speaking to the thread on working group and and council, I like the idea that Christina mentioned, which is there's only so much bandwidth that any constituent stakeholder group has in putting people into working groups. We need to sort of say, okay, if this is consensus policy, how many working groups do we have working at the same time? We cannot have unlimited numbers because we don't have unlimited bodies to fill those. And I think that would be something I think we should all look at. Thanks.
Thanks, Saeed. And if you look at what Adrian's doing now, I don't think you have anything to worry about.
He's muted still. We'll see what happens when he gets to a PowerPoint presentation with music maybe.
Alan.
Okay, 3 quick points. Christina correctly pointed out that in general people are not on working groups representing their constituencies or stakeholder groups, but that doesn't prevent them from actually going back and getting confirmation and getting and being able to on any given point to present some consolidated views, and some people do that at least on a semi-regular basis. And if people would do that at a critical time, it might help speed things up. On a positive note, with the exception of cross-working groups, we are almost finished process. We may actually be able to go back and focus more stakeholder and constituency time on policy, and in fact meeting time on policy, and maybe that will make life a little bit easier. And lastly, I'll remind people that we used to have council meetings in the morning. It was an abominable time to start at 8 o'clock in the morning. But in terms of participation, there was no one there when we started, and by the end, we had a good turnout. Now we do it in the afternoon. People are there after lunch, and by 4 or 5 and 6 o'clock, they just drift off. And so, you know, to some extent, we put it upon ourselves by switching from the morning to the afternoon. But, you know, you've got to pick one or the other.
Yeah,
I'm much more comfortable with starting at 2 p.m. not having anyone in the room. But that's my own personal view. If you get me to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'll probably not be very effective.
But the result is by 6:30, there's no one there.
Which when, probably when we open speaks the microphone. To Christina's point of the meetings just being too long, maybe. I mean, for us, concentrating for 4.5 hours, for me anyway, yesterday, honestly, I know that my ability to concentrate for a long time isn't very good, but that was just very painful.
After 5 heavy days and several heavy nights, yes.
Yeah. Wolf. Wolf.
I got. Thank you. Just very brief. With regards to making the council session more attractive, and it was discussed here, to take more outreach efforts on that. So I just would like to refer this point to Olga's group. We have established a group here which is dealing with outreach efforts, and they should come back really. So I don't expect if you just discuss it, improve it, and don't take measures about it that somebody is going to something is going to happen. Olga should please refer to that group, and we are also discussing in our constituency how to join this group. Yeah, that this could be done in an effective way. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie. You had one small point that you wanted to make, and then Jeff, you wanted
just a question. Why do we have to have a specific time frame for our public meeting?
You mean why do we have 4.5 hours set aside for it? Because we're not the only ones to have a lot of planning work to do. Running, going up to these meetings takes a lot of planning for the planning meeting staff, and the slots have to be identified ahead of time, usually 15 days before the meeting, although we tend to, you know, blur into that deadline. So it's just... everything. We're not the only ones that are having to get organized.
Okay, but if we wanted to shorten to 3 hours, note?
We can ask that ahead of time. I mean, all the input that we've had today is very helpful. We've possibly got a small team that's going to come together and look at these things, and that's great. And if we think that it should be 3 hours instead... We didn't... If your question is... Did we ask for 4.5 hours for this one? No, we didn't. The slot we were given was 4.5 hours, and to be honest, with all the preparation work that was going on, I just didn't have time to react to that, and maybe I should have done, but I just didn't. Jeff?
Yeah, so in the couple minutes we have left, there's a bunch of things that we have on our plate that I'm a little bit worried about. We have a July meeting on the 21st, and then we don't have any in August. And I don't think we pick up till September. Is it mid-September? Or is it... it's some point in September. Maybe it's early, maybe it's mid. But so the board has given us a couple things that we need to do. One is we need to wrap up the Jazz Working Group, have a final report, have everything to staff in time for them to do an implementation plan, all for the board's approval in Dakar. That's no time, right? So we need to kind of figure out a way, and we'll try as chairs to work backwards to figure out when everything needs a final report needs to be to us. So a final report needs to be to us that we can consider, get feedback on, vote on, and then get that to the staff, which means the Jazz Working Group needs to get us that stuff within a certain period of time. And it's very, very, very quick amount of time. And that kind of worried me with the board's resolution as to how little time we actually have for that. The other thing that was in the board's resolution was to discuss whether to revisit the reserve names for new TLDs with the possible addition of the Red Cross marks and the Olympic marks to block at the second level. We can take that up. We don't have to take that up. It's a choice, but if we do, it's got to be pretty soon, and so we need to know from the councillors whether this is something that the councillors want to actually take up or not. And then there's a whole bunch of work that's come out of the transfers resolution that we just passed. including one, at least is it one issue report, and a bunch of things that staff needs to come back on. So there's a lot going on. So we have a September 8th meeting, and then an October 6th meeting, and then the Dakar meeting. So that's not much time to do all of this stuff. And I would think that, and I would like, and I'll ask you all, I know we don't have a scheduled August meeting. I don't want to do a council meeting, but if it's perhaps a possibility to maybe do, where's Rafiq? I was going to ask, if it's possible to do sometime, I know August everybody's off, and I'm sorry, but if it's possible to do a special jazz working group GNSO call either in July or August, so to give us more of an update and help us get through our processes so that we're not a roadblock for you all. I think that's what I'd make a recommendation for.
Thanks, Jeff. Adam.
Okay, just to clarify, to understand that you want a GNSO Council and Jazz Working Group call in July or August?
Well, I think we need to figure out a timeline working backwards of when we need to deliver to staff the final report so that they can write an implementation plan to present to the board to vote on in Dakar. So we kind of need to do a milestone working backwards. I just don't know where in the process that would be.
Jeff, isn't that the group's job?
What's that?
Isn't it the Jazz Working Group's job to work out?
No, we have to let the Jazz Working Group know when we need a report back so that we can, as a group, discuss it. So it's our job to tell the Jazz Group, you're our committee, you get us back the final report by this date.
Okay, so we can have, but I need to ask the working group members about possible dates and time for that.
Oh, for a call?
Hang on. Alan.
Yeah, I may be wrong, but my understanding was that the board said the Jazz Working Group has to have a report for consideration in Dakar, and the implementation would follow prior, and the implementation has to be complete prior to the start of applications, I believe.
Yeah, you can look at the document, Alan. I copied word for word what was in the resolution. So it's the staff needs an implementation plan to present to the board in Dakar so that they can approve it and launch the program. Because remember, January is when applications for new GTLDs are going to be accepted. The only way, you got to give some notice in advance. So I just read to you the actual resolution.
If you look at the document I sent, I did a copy and paste. Anyone else on this, the Jazz? Okay. Jonathan, you wanted to talk about community working groups. We have 2 minutes left.
Thank you, Stefan. I just thought I would put out there's been quite a lot of discussion over this over the past few days, and I thought it might be helpful to essentially put out to you the way forward. I see how we'll develop this going forward over the next while. I thought it was an excellent and thorough discussion yesterday, and I did try to capture a lot of it in writing while we were talking. It seems to me, and I'm looking for your feedback and guidance on this, because we're gonna have to try and make some progress on it. It seems to me what we've got is a GNSO discussion group that's working. We should perhaps consider that being open, and that's what I think I've been hearing, to some form of liaison or participation from others around other SOs and ACs. I propose to seek assistance from staff with some of the admin organization and drafting around this document, and I guess we will set up a series. It's likely that we'll go into a series of calls to start to make some progress on this conference calls. And the first thing for me really is to make sure we've got our sort of objectives and scope of what we're trying to achieve set out clearly. And importantly, the output we hope to get from this drafting group, and ideally some key milestones and timing. So that's the way I see it in a nutshell going forward, and I'd welcome any comment, not really about structure and process, how we make progress rather than reopening the discussion of yesterday, because I think we'll get time to talk about that. So that's what I'm looking for, comment or feedback.
Thank you. Any comment or feedback? Margie?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know I'll help you with that effort. If you need staff support, let me know.
Jamie?
I think it's critical to decide if we will proceed opening or inviting other SOs and ACs, or if it will be we will be proceeding as a GNSO only working group.
Just respond and say it is my intention to invite external participation, and that's what I'm looking for you to say yes or no on, in effect.
Adrian?
Off topic, just to let you know that this was my last wrap-up session ever.
And mine.
And Christina's. So in my official capacity. In my official capacity.
But it's not finished yet. So if you just sit
it's finished
down,
for me, I'm leaving.
Well stay it, and we'll have and drum rolls and
I expect that there'll be others providing ice cream and water. Now that I've set this precedent, Stefan, I'm looking at you.
Well, Adrian, if you have to leave, and considering it's 2 minutes past the hour, perhaps this is a good time to just thank both of you. I may be missing. Is anyone else? Tim? Yes, sorry, Tim as well. Any other outgoing councillors that I may have missed? Zahid? Thank you.
Maybe. We don't know what's going to happen with the non-commercials.
Okay, well. For those four seem certain. Sorry?
Non-commercials.
I appreciate that, but if we're going to keep time, let's keep it in the
air. Okay, no, I'm going to come back. I just want to at least get that in. And then, but just to say thanks to you all. And on a personal note, Adrian and Tim, it has been an honor and a pleasure to be schooled by both of you. Who was it? Christina, sorry.
I hate to even say it, but I'm going to say it because it was driving me crazy yesterday. I am not even sure if we've actually decided that we think that we need a new process for cross-community working groups and that we want to do them. And it just seems as if this whole thing is taking on a life of its own. We kind of had the Rec 6 thing, but the GAC has made clear that they're not going to be participating, so we're really only talking about the ALAC, the CCNSO, and the SSAC. SSAC, I think, is unlikely to happen, and it just seems to me that if we say, okay, we're going to open up this whole drafting team to people from other SOs and ACs, then we effectively have made the decision that, yes, we think we need to have new processes for these and the like, and I'm just not entirely comfortable with doing that.
Okay. Edmund, I nearly said jig, which just shows how tired
you,
I am.
I don't mind. Anyway, so I think it's interesting what Christina brought up and what Jamie brought up. I think getting some input from the different SO and AC, if we are talking about this, is definitely important. But I guess two things. One, I do think in the future, you made your point about that now the GTLD thing is done, less people might be coming and less issues. But I think in the future we're still going to have these working groups, and it's probably good to have a set of principles that the GNSO can sort of somewhat hold to, and those who are participating in those working groups from the GNSO can sort of conduct themselves with, you know, a set of principles. And on that, I think in terms of what we are working on, probably we should focus on what the GNSO or the GNSO those who are representing the GNSO side of things in these working groups. We should probably have a set of principles of how things are, how we want them to conduct and how things should be conducted and what messages we would bring there. And the other thing is that from I guess the experience with participating in some of these working groups is that the perception, perspective of how processes work, and what constitutes policy, what constitutes implementation, we ourselves obviously are also have a problem with that. But it's very different between the GNSO's view and the CCNSO's view and the ALAC's view and obviously the GAC's view. And I think we need to be sensitive to those, but we have to, you know, we need our own guidelines, you know, going in. And we might not be able to enforce those same guidelines to all those, you know, other groups that are participating in these cross working groups. So we might, what I'm really saying is that we might need a set of sort of principles or guidelines for GNSO representatives. And if we are eventually going to have these cross working groups consistently, we might have to have some process that's, you know, a meta process as well. But regardless, the GNSO side of things principle, I think, would be a useful, you know, useful piece of work.
Thanks, Edma. Have Tim, then I really have to end the meeting. Thanks.
No, I think Christina makes a very good point, and I may or may not have it completely correct, but I think that we've just started proceeding with community working groups. I mean, there's nothing in the bylaws. It's never been established. You know, we just started using them, but the council itself has never really formally said whether or not, you know, we're going to continue with that work. I mean, we just assumed that we're going to by starting the work that we did with the with Jonathan. But, you know, so I think it's a good question, and maybe that's something we should consider as a council. You know, is that something we want to formalize in some fashion?
Thanks, Tim. So, Liz, you just had a staff announcement.
I do have a very short announcement. I'd like to welcome a new policy director to the policy team. It's Brian Peck, who was previously with the Registrar Liaison team. For those of you who don't know Brian, he's here in the room today. So I hope you'll all welcome him and offer him your support. Thank you. And, oh, I should note also that we only have about 25% of his time initially, and he'll be migrating his old responsibilities and picking up new responsibilities on a gradual basis, so we won't inundate him right away. Thanks. That's right, 250.
Thanks, Liz. Thanks to everybody for your hard work this week. It's been once again a pleasure to work with you all. Thanks for your participation, effort, patience, and just generally good humor. And just to end on a good note, Mary is kicking me underneath the table because she's still expecting money from some people. So you just work that out with her, and safe travel home, everybody, and see you next time. Thanks.
I'll hang out here for a few minutes, and I'll also be in the public forum for as long as that lasts. And so if you don't find me here, you can find me there. Thank you.
And a vote of thanks to you, Stefan, and the vice chairs as well. Thank you very much.
And thanks to Mary.
Surrogate local host.